Hello, hello. If you're somebody who wants to go from where you are to where you want to be, and you're interested in learning some tips to do so that are backed by science, then this is the episode for you. Hey guys, it's Ange, and in this episode, we're going to talk about five different tips that you can use to change your behavior for good. And they're backed by science. So I'm not over here just making this stuff up. Like, I've been nerding out about this episode. I am the one who legit goes and reads peer-reviewed journals and articles, and I'm like looking through the data and the studies. Like, I'm a nerd like that, no lie. So I did that for this episode. I was geeking out about different studies, but really I was following someone by the name of Katie Milkman. And Katie is a behavioral scientist, and she does a lot of work with Angela Duckworth, you know, from the TED Talk about grit. She works a lot with her. So she knows so much about behavior change. Like, she's dedicated her life to studying behavior change. So this is where we got these five tips from her wisdom. And she has a new book out that I'm really excited to read. In fact, I'll probably do an entire episode about the book, because the name itself, I'm just ecstatic just reading the name. You want to know the name of the book? It's How to Change: The Science from Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, which is everything that we talk about on the show, about intentionally designing your life. So super excited to read that. But the bits of information that I got here was from me like Googling and me listening to several interviews by her. And I kind of just summarized the information I got from her into 5 points. Okay, so let's get right to it. So tip number one is to know what is getting in the way of having the behavior that you want. That's the number one tip that she gives, is that you got to know what's getting in the way first. And then she suggests that once you know what it is that's getting in the way, you got to match it with the right tools to overcome what's getting in the way. So let me clarify what I mean by that by giving you an example. Let's say that what's getting in the way of you achieving your goals is the fact that you dread doing it. You don't like to do it. That's what's getting in the way. Like, you know you should be working out, but it ain't really that fun for you, so you don't really want to do it. Or maybe you're like me and like you're trying to be really intentional with your money and you like to keep track of it with your budget stuff, but it's just annoying being in the Excel document, typing things in. You just find it annoying. You don't like doing it. Well, then you need to find a way to make it fun. So whatever it is that you're dreading, find a way to make it fun. I know we just talked about this concept with Marissa Peer's wisdom. We talked about the principles of the mind that you need to be aware of. And it's so cool when you start to see different experts in the fields of neuroscience, behavioral science, therapists, all of them aligning with, they're saying like, this stuff works. Like, you need to make things fun. I mean, it's like common sense, but how much effort do we actually put into making something that we don't like fun? We just give up on doing it often because it's just not fun, versus strategically finding ways to make it more enjoyable for us. So that's what she's saying here. So let's give an example then. So let's say that, let me coach myself over here. Let's say that I don't really enjoy, I don't really enjoy my laundry. Okay. I don't enjoy my laundry, but part of me like doing laundry, like folding it and putting away, like I do not like that task. Right. But the identity that I like to uphold, the person that I want to be, is a person that is an organized person, that her space looks clean and inviting and it's just inspiring to be in. You know, when you have laundry all over the place, that ain't an inspiring space to me, you know, right? So, but I know that I need to continue to fold my laundry and put it away, right? So the thing that might be getting in the way of me being the person that I want to be is the fact that I don't find it fun. So what can I do to make it more fun? So one of the things I actually do is when I fold my laundry, that is my time that I'm listening to my favorite podcast. And it just makes it so much more enjoyable to me. Another thing I've done to make that task more enjoyable is I've had Ian join me in that task. so we do it together, and it gets done so much more faster, and I feel like I talk to him while I'm doing it. So that has been helpful too. So in a nutshell, that one is often a barrier for people, that they dread doing it. So again, you just got to get creative and figure out ways to make it more fun for you, or reframe your mind around how you're seeing it. We talked about that in the Four Principles of the Mind podcast episode as well. All right, the second thing that she says that often gets in the way for people is that they don't believe that they can do it, right? They doubt themselves often. They don't know how it's going to be possible for them to make that dream or their goal a reality. I mean, that hits me all the time where I'm like, how the heck am I going to do that? I mean, I doubt my ability around that. So what she says is the tool that's going to help you with that is you finding a group that encourages you, that helps you believe that it's possible for you, that are maybe they're all striving for the same thing. They're in that energy of belief, like, we believe this is possible, we're going after it, and we're here supporting each other. It's like this tribe mentality to achieve the greater thing. This is so important as far as helping you stay encouraged and motivated to move forward, and just being around people that get you, that maybe want more for themselves in the same way that you do. Because it's hard for other people to understand that. When, like, for an example would be, for me, this has worked for me, where I'm in a group that is all people that are previous TEDx speakers or want to be a TEDx speaker, because they get me. They get my desire for that. Other people might be like, I don't really care about that. I never want to step on a stage in front of people and try to share a message with the world. Like, that is not my thing. Right? It's not going to serve me to be around people like that. And maybe it's because they doubt their ability to stand on the stage and be confident in that way to share the message. That's not going to serve me to be around people like that. Because if I'm doubting myself, you know, it's not helpful. But if I'm around other people who are like, hey, I've done this before, you can do it too, let's do it together, you know, let's encourage each other, that's going to help me move forward and really remove that barrier of that doubt that I might face. So that's a tool that you can use, finding the group that can encourage you if you have that barrier of self-doubt and you're wondering if you can do it. This is why I'm always in groups. Y'all, you'd be shocked at how many groups I'm a part of. They're all related to who I want to be. And I search for these groups very intentionally. I have groups that are all about entrepreneurs, ones that specifically build their businesses based on their faith or their spirituality. Like, those are the groups I like to be a part of, that are service-based, that are truly there to help people improve their lives. Like, those are my homies. I'm in those groups, right? Like, I'm in the TEDx group. I'm in hikers groups, like through hikers, long-distance ones. I'm in those groups too. I'm in all kinds of groups over here. Book club, okay? So I want you to be thinking about that for yourself. And then the third thing that she said often gets in the way for people is procrastination. And, you know, we all struggle with procrastination at times, especially if we don't like doing the thing, right? So, and especially, like, this is all relative, because also if we don't believe that something is going to come of it, procrastination may get in the way of that too, you know? So it's all relative to the other points I just made. But she says, one of the things that you can do is to create what she calls a commitment device. And an example would be like you telling other people that you're going to do it. Because you know how you're much more likely to do something if you tell someone else that you're going to do it? It's weird. It's like we're more likely to follow through on promises to other people than we are to ourselves. But I think this just goes back to the tribe mentality too, and how our brain is wired, and how we're wired to be part of a tribe and thrive in the tribe together, and, you know, all of that. So anyways, telling others you're going to do it, that's something I used recently because, you know, I'm hiking the Appalachian Trail in the spring, and that's my full goal, is to finish that trail. And I know that it's going to be very, very challenging, and I know there's going to be times that I want to quit, especially if homegirl is cold. She don't like being cold, and the whole wet, cold thing, you know, so. And a lot of other discomfort, the not being able to get out of the heat when it is super hot. There's so many things, being hungry, being tired, all the things, right, that are going to make me want to, or inspire me to want to quit. You know what I mean? So what I've done is I told other people like you that I'm going to do the thing, right? So that's holding me accountable. I sought out ways so that I can create a documentary with our friend and videographer, Ryan Reynolds, so that I can follow through. Because I don't want to be creating a documentary and showing you guys how I quit partway through. Like, that'd be humiliating for me. I don't want that. Unless, there might be a legit reason and I get hurt and that's understandable. But I don't want to be that person. And I know what's going to hold me accountable to finishing the thing is I tell other people. So that's the way I use these strategies. All the things that she's talked about are things that I've done, like strategies I've used, which I was like, good job, Ange. Like, I was really proud of myself because I didn't realize the science behind it, but I know that it was helpful for me. And now I geek out about all the, I want to research all the science and stuff. Okay. So, telling others, another example of a commitment device might be paying for something, like, or saying like, I will pay you X amount of dollars if I don't finish this thing. Or if it goes, like, I will pay X amount to a cause that I'm completely against if I don't finish this thing. So it makes it so that you're committed to move forward. You're more likely to do it. Also, things like my coach used to tell me this when I was in my coaching training. He would say that he called it, what did he call it? I've talked about this on the show before. A pull to action. I think that's what he called it. Like he said, for example, let's say the fridge is empty. That's your pull to action to go to the grocery store. So what's going to be your pull to action? He'd always ask me that. And so it might be something like, for example, from before this podcast launch, I set a date that was my launch party date because that meant that my podcast had to be done and ready to go, right? So it pulled me into action. It was a commitment device for me. And that's why truly it was able to launch the podcast because I had so much mind trash about it. Like I was like, is anyone going to listen to me? Is this even worth it? Do I even know what I'm doing? All of that stuff always comes in your mind. And what got me to move forward beyond that was the commitment device that I made because I know people were going to show up to my party online, which was really fun. If you remember, some of you guys showed up and it was fun because we did a little visioning activity. We lit a candle. We did the cheers. We did meditation. It was just fun. Another thing she describes as a commitment device is restraining access to the things that might get in your way. So it causes you to be committed to what you're trying to do. So an example would be, I remember when I was working on writing my book, which hasn't been released yet, but when I was writing my book, I would use tools that when you're writing your book, you can't go to anything online. Like you can't deviate away from that because it's like locks everything and it keeps you only that document open. So that was a way that I was committing to doing the thing. Nowadays, how I commit to doing the thing is I log into FocusMate. I mentioned it on the show before, FocusMate.com. And that's where I have an accountability partner from somewhere around the world that I tell I'm doing something. And for 50 minutes, I'm staying focused on that task because I know right afterwards, I'm going to tell them what it is that I did, what I worked on. And I know that the camera is, it's on the entire time. So I don't want to be away from the whole thing and distracted because it's like, I'm going to explain myself. There's a lot of research behind that, and it's really helpful for me and getting stuff done. The days that I log into FocusMate and I'm working from home, I'll be getting a lot of stuff done over here. When I don't, I'm like, where did the day go? Because I was so distracted. Who knows what I'm even doing? I'm like, what did I do last 4 hours? Like, it's just crazy. Like, squirrel over there. Oh, I'm going to make some wontons. Oh, I'm going to go eat these chips. Oh, I'm going to do some squats right now. And then I'll be like, I'm going to open this book and look at it. And then I'm going to send someone else a message. And then before I know it, the entire day is gone. So the FocusMate stuff was really helpful to me. What else does she say? Okay, so let's just move on to the next one. I think you have some good examples there. So the second tip that she gave was to create pledges. Create pledges. And I like this word because it's a little bit different than what I would normally say. Because you've heard me say on the show before, creating like a creed for yourself. Like, you know how back in the day when I was in the army, we had the soldier's creed. I am, and it was all these statements. I am an American soldier. I am blah, blah, blah. And it talks about like all the ways that you will behave as an American soldier. You'll never leave a fallen comrade and all these other additional things that it says, right? It was almost like rules for how you'll show up in the world. And that was a creed. And that was a way that I believe the military, it's a tool that the military uses to, in a sense, program our minds. It's like, this is who you're being. So anyway, she refers to this stuff also as a pledge. So it's another way of looking at it. And basically creating a pledge around what you do or you won't do. It's how you're going to show up. It's something written that states that. Or rules that you have for yourself. I've heard a lot of people talk about rules when it comes to being the person that they want to be. Like, they've set rules for themselves. I have a little bit of notes here about a book that I read a while ago, and it's specifically about that. So we got to dive into that. That was just a random thought that came up in my mind. Okay, so anyways, so rules for how you behave. So an example would be, I'm going to tell you some of my rules. This was light bulb stuff for me when I was reading this, because I was like, do I have anything like that? And I was like, girl, your whole life is made up of rules. Like, I didn't realize it. Because a lot of times you can think rules get a bad rep. Like, oh, but rules help you be who you want to be. You can use it very intentionally. You can use it for good. Because a lot of times the rebels in us are like, I don't want rules. I don't want my life to have control over it. But remember this, like, structure creates freedom, all right? So, for example, one of my rules is I only drink water or unsweetened tea when going out to eat, unless I'm at a winery, brewery, or ordering pizza. It's like, this is a weird rule that I didn't realize, but I'm like, that's how I operate. So if I'm in a restaurant, they're like, what do you want to drink? It's going to either be water or unsweetened tea if I'm at a normal restaurant. I don't think about anything else. I don't have chatter in my mind like, should you get the soda? Should you get this? Should you? Like, I don't think about that. That's just straight up what I'm going to get. Unless it's a special occasion or something, or I'm going out to eat like in a specific, like a winery, or there's a brewery. I'm not going to go to a brewery and not get a beer or like a, sometimes I get a kombucha if they have that on tap. That's pretty good. But otherwise, that's like where there's exceptions to the rule that I had, right? Or when I'm ordering pizza, then I'm going to get another carbonated drink. So this is just a random rule for myself, but it helps me be, I feel like, the healthy person that I want to be. I made up that rule and it serves me. Another rule that I have a lot of rules around different food stuff for me. Can you stop? Steve, my cat is like hitting the door. So another thing is, when I get ice cream, I only get the kid size ice cream cup, like only the small one. And sometimes Ian and I even share that. And truthfully, I don't want more ice cream than that. I really don't. Like, I'm happy with the small one, but that's just a rule that I made for myself. Back in the day, I used to want a lot more than that. But then I started developing this rule and following it, and it's part of like who I am now. Okay, the second thing. Well, I got a bunch more examples. Let's keep going. So another one is that I drink greens, like this green mix, Green Vibrance, every single morning. That's a rule that I have. I only drink decaf or mushroom coffee unless someone buys me a fancy Starbucks, I have a gift card, or I'm traveling. This is like, who knew I had these rules in my life? You got rules in your life too. If you dive into them, I know you do. So it's interesting to look because they're related to our identity and who we want to be. So I'm asking you to think about making other rules that are going to be more in alignment with who you want to be. So think of them as the pledges that you're going to have. Another might be setting hours of when you're going to work and what you're going to work on. So it's like, when X happens, I will. So in my calendar, you know how each day I have is focused, like there's a theme for the day. So like Tuesdays is Tidy Tuesday. So when it's 8 a.m., that is when I'm going to clean my house. Like, so that's like a rule, it's a pledge that I have. And then I also think of it also as like intentions that you can set for yourself every day too. Make pledges of how you're going to show up in that day. It's kind of fun. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, let's move to the next one. The third tip that she gives is to look at life as a season or a series of cycles, because everything operates in cycles. You know what this tip reminded me of? It reminded me of the podcast episode that we talked about the moon phases. And so it made me think about, like, in our life now, we can think about it as different seasons. This is great for goal setting. Like, you can think, for the last quarter, I'm going to focus on this specific thing. For the fall season, I'm going to do these things. Like, this is what my fall season is about. This is my theme of the fall season. So for me, I was just thinking about that. And it's like, the theme of my fall season is that I am really honing in on that identity of being a through hiker, one that hikes from point A to point B, right? That's what if you're wondering, like, what's the definition of a thru hiker? It means that you hike all the way through, like a path from A to B, like versus like getting off the path and stuff like that and coming back. It's like you hike it from A to B. Okay, with the Appalachian Trail, thru hiking means that you complete the Appalachian Trail all almost 2,200 miles of it from Maine to Georgia, you complete that in less than a year, then you're considered a through hiker according to the general definition. So I just have to throw that in there because people ask me that all the time. So going back to my main point around looking at life as seasons, it could be like thinking about your identity-based goals and how each season you're going to focus maybe on one or two or something like that. Also thinking about it as like, I like to think about things as like these phases. Like right now I'm in the stage of, let's say, getting everything ready, you know, right? So I might be like, if you're planting stuff, you're getting the soil ready. And that might be the phase that you're in your life. And then it might be then you are planting things and then you're attending to it and then you're harvesting. Like, how can you bring that metaphor-ish into what you're trying to do now? Like, oh, I'm just in this stage right now. And this is very helpful to my clients, I've seen, when sometimes they're like, well, I want to be like getting a bunch of money for the things that I'm doing. But you're like, well, you just started, you just gave your ideas out. Now you're getting the structures and the systems ready, right? And then you're going to share it with others and you're going to tend to it, right? And see how things are going, serve people. Then you will harvest from it. So looking at it as seasons, like, don't be trying to be at this part of it, this phase, if you're at this phase. Like, there's it's meant for us to have cycles and seasons and things like that. It's just a helpful way of looking at things, I think. So just play with that. Sit with that. Okay, the fourth tip that she gives is to create a temptation bundle. So what she means by this is that you link a chore or like a thing that you regularly do with a temptation that you have, something that you want to do, something that often gets in the way of who you really want to be. Like, it's something that's like a temptation, you know? So an example might be, for me, I know that all I want to do is like research, listen to podcasts. Like, I just love doing it. It makes me feel so good. But not so much when I have a bunch of other things I need to do and the whole day passed and all I was doing was listening to random podcasts or things like that. Like, that's not serving me. That means I'm not moving forward. But I still want to do that. So the solution to that is to link it with a chore or something that you regularly do. So an example might be, if I regularly go for a walk or jog, that would be my time that I'm listening to podcasts. An example would be like I gave earlier with the laundry. That would be my time, that chore needs to be done. That would be my time that I'm listening to the podcast, that I'm having that temptation, you know, filled, I guess. So think about that with you. Anything else that might get in the way, like, how can you link it with something else you're already doing? Another thing that used to get in my way in a lot is I'd always want to talk to my friends. Like, I just want to like chat with people all the time and hear how they're doing, all that stuff. But then it would be, the whole day would be gone because I'd just be doing that. I never move forward on anything else. So instead, what I did was I made a rule for myself, a pledge. I pledged that I only respond to messages and talk to friends when I go for my afternoon walk. That is my time to chat to them. It was so helpful to me. So that's also an example of doing what she says, like a temptation bundle, creating that for yourself. Okay. Another example might be too, like, what, listening to things while you're cooking. Like, let's say in like the book club that I'm in, let's say your excuse is like, oh, I never finished the book because I just don't have time. I'm so busy. Well, chances are you're probably cooking. Most of us are, unless you've outsourced that. But let's say you're cooking. That could be your time that you're listening to an audiobook, you know, and then you still get to participate in the group discussion in the way that you want to, in a way that makes you proud. But that's creating a temptation bundle. All right. So the fifth thing is use the power of fresh starts. Fresh starts. What the heck is a fresh start? It's exactly what it sounds like. A fresh start. An example would be with the new year. You know how people get really excited about the new year? I'm going to be this new person, new year, new me, that kind of thing. And it's like this energy is high that we want to make these changes. So it's like you play on that energy during those times in our life. And our life is full of new beginnings. So an example might be a new week, beginning of the week, right? A new month. A new quarter, a new season, maybe you actually moving to a new place, starting a new job. It's a fresh start. All of that is a fresh start. There's different kind of energy around it, different kind of enthusiasm around it. So with that being said, what you can do is you ride that wave. So she says, like, during that time, use that to start new things. Create a fresh start for yourself. Like today, And I was recording this, so it's September 1 when I'm actually recording it. I know it's not getting played till much later when I'll be gone. As you're listening to it, it'll most likely be when I'm on the trail, unless you're listening to it at a later date. But either way, it was the start of a new month, right? And I was really excited this morning because I was starting a new journal. And I was like, this is me starting a new journal. I'm going to be consistent with this every day. It was like I was riding that wave. Okay, what else did she say? Oh, this is a good point. She says that you also need to be, well, the reason why this is so helpful is not only the energy behind it, but also because when we have these new things happen in our life, this disruption to what's currently happening, it means there's also habit destruction. More disruption equals more habit destruction. So the habits that you've already developed, they're going to get disrupted, messed with a bit. It might be an opportunity for you to start a new habit and start going down a new path, and that can serve you. So that disruption can be a good thing if you want to form new habits to ride that wave of the fresh start. Now, sometimes this can be a not so good thing. Think about it. Let's say that you are really good. You're going on, you're doing well with your eating, with your exercising, with your journaling and your business work, whatever. And then you go on a trip and it all goes like downhill. Like the habits that you developed, you're not doing them anymore because it got interrupted, right? So then you got to be mindful that how can you keep that consistency with where you're at? How can you maybe create new habits that are related to your other ones, but keep it going? Maybe you can use a temptation bundle. Maybe you know that you can get up in the morning and when you have your coffee in the morning, because you're going to have that coffee anywhere or that drink anywhere, that's when you'll keep doing your journaling. That's when you'll keep working on your business stuff or, you know, whatever. You just got to think creatively and know what you might be working up against and like how you can use it to serve you and how, you know, it's not serving you and just being mindful of it. Okay. I have a bonus one in here. The sixth one is that flexibility is key. I love this study. We're going to nerd out over here. Okay. So flexibility is key. You've heard this. Consistency is key. You've heard that. I preached it too. But something interesting happened with this study. So they did an experiment that was done with 2,500 Google employees. And they were like, hey, who wants to be a part of creating a new exercise routine? And these 2,500 people were like, I will, I'll do it. And they said, okay, we're going to split you guys into two groups. One group, I want you to pick an ideal time for you to work out. Pick that ideal time, and then you're going to be consistent. Like, your job is to go at that exact same time and do that every day, right? And the other group, I want you to pick an ideal time that you want to work out. And they said, okay, I picked it. And then your job is to be consistent as much as you can, but more so flexible. Like really, like if something comes up, it's okay. You can do it at a different time, but try to like go around that time. We'll just see how it works out. Flexibility though, it's yours. You can use it when you want. Other group, no, you're consistent. You keep going, right? So two different groups. Think of one as the consistent group and the flexible group, right? So they wanted to see who would create lasting habits. And most of us would be like, well, duh, the consistent group is going to create the lasting habits, right? But no, what happened was is the group that had more flexibility, they created lasting habits as far as like they had the most success with being consistent. I don't know if that's the best word for me to use since we're talking about these two different groups, but like they kept going every day. It might be at different times, but they kept that habit of working out on the regular where the other group didn't. So what the heck was happening here? They were shocked by this. So basically what they found is that those that were in the consistent group, when they missed the times, they often gave up on themselves. They kind of had this like an all or nothing mindset. You know how that goes sometimes? Like you do really well and then you're like, oh, well, crap. Like I ate, you know, this crappy food. So I guess it's all whatever. Like I'll eat whatever now since I just broke my rule, like, and I ate this thing, right? So that's happened to us, but it's, you know what's interesting is the science actually calls that the what the hell effect. Like that's a real thing, what the hell effect. And what they mean by that is you broke, something disrupted what you were trying to do. It could be like you're eating really healthy and then someone celebrates someone's birthday at work and they bring all the goodies and then you're like, you eat a cupcake and then you're like, dang it, I ate that cupcake. And then you're like, oh, what the hell? I might as well go out for drinks later too. You know, it's like that happens. So anyways, that would happen to a lot of people. But the ones that were focused more on the flexibility, it's like they were intentional. They picked a time initially that it could work. So this research isn't saying don't be intentional. That's not what it's saying. I was really happy to hear that. You know, I was. So, but what it's saying is that you want to be flexible and like you can be intentional. You pick an ideal time and then it's like you have backup plans. Like, let's say I couldn't like work out in the morning. For example, when I was away from work recently, we get up really early. And like some days I was just so exhausted and I couldn't do my workout in the morning, or I chose not to. And I was like, it's okay, because I'll do it when I get back. When I get home from work, that's the second time I'm going to do it. Like, I had plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, like, had all these different plans. And it allowed me to be flexible. So they're saying go for that. Have a plan A, B, and C. Because the reality is that life isn't consistent. Like, stuff happens in our life. But you want to be picking ideal times. You want to be intentional, but be flexible as well. So the summary of all of this is that flexibility is key. Another example that she gave, which was a very good visual for me, was that she said, you know, when she used to play sports, she didn't train in the perfect conditions. Like, it wasn't like you're going to stand here every time for when the ball comes right in this position and that's how it was like you're going to run around, you're going to try out different things in different scenarios. It's kind of like I think about training to run like a major event. I'm going to run in different terrain, in different elevation, because I want to train in that way to deal with like the things that might get thrown at me, you know, or the different weather that athletes might feel at a certain time. You're not going to train in the best of conditions. You're going to be flexible. You're going to make sure you prioritize that anything could happen kind of mentality. Okay, so another thing is that you don't want to program this idea that you don't follow through and that you're a failure. Because like that might come up with like if you're not consistent every day at the exact same time, you might tell yourself like maybe even subconsciously is like, I don't stick to what I say I'm going to do. So that's a normal thing for me. That's just who I am. Because life always, things always get in the way. Instead of being a victim about it, what if you're more about like, we know that things are unpredictable, but no matter what, I'm the person that's committed to doing this thing. Whether I got to get up earlier, whether I got to get up later, here's my plan A, B, C. You know, if it doesn't happen at this time, it's happening at this time. Like, you're still committing to it. Okay, so what else? Another thing, there was some research that was done on what's called the emergency reserve effect. And it's basically like having an emergency bag for your tough goals, your really tough goals. Like if you don't follow through with them, it's like you kind of call it out like, well, this one, in this situation, this is an emergency. So I'm letting myself off of the, I guess, the wagon for this time because it's an emergency, but then I'll get right back on and we'll go back to normal. It's like for something happens when we give ourselves that kind of permission. Not that you'd want to do it constantly, but if that you allow there to be emergencies. So I think about it as in James Clear book, The Atomic Habits, which I love, is my favorite. I always talk about it. He talks about never having 2 days in a row where you don't do something. And I forget how he words it. He words it so nicely, but it's basically like you have a rule for yourself that it's never 2 days in a row that you quit or you don't do something. Maybe it's not James that says that. I forget. It could be John Acuff, who's also one of my favorite authors. He might have mentioned that in his book, Finished. I don't know. Somebody who I love stated that, and it's really changed my life, because if, let's say, I miss a day where I'm like, my rule is I never miss two. Never miss two. So I give myself that permission to miss one, but never gonna miss two. And it really serves me. Another thing that serves me is thinking that every little bit counts. Every little bit that I do makes a difference. You know, that serves me too, because that helps with that all or nothing approach, that sometimes I don't have enough time to do the full 40-minute workout that I planned. But you know what? 5 minutes makes a difference. It matters. So I'm gonna do the 5 instead of doing the what the hell approach and being like, you know, like, what the hell? I'm not gonna do this. And then I might just eat crappy after that because I didn't follow my other plan about who I wanted to be. Like, instead of defaulting to that or not doing anything at all, then it's still serving me to believe that every little bit counts. And then maybe tomorrow I will be that person that finishes the full workout. But today, 15 minutes is going to be okay. You know? Let's see what else. Okay, so the last 3 things. I love this because she was asked in an interview, what are the 3 things that you just want people to know? like, in summary, what do you want them to know? And she said, one, you must make the path to achieving your goals fun. We talked about that. Two, life is full of moments that give us a sense of new beginning by looking for them. We can get further and we can pick up on that energy. And the third thing she says is to be flexible. Rigidity is the enemy of habits and success because life throws you curveballs constantly. So I feel like that's a good summary of everything that we just talked about. The last thing I loved is that Lewis Howes, who I also adore in his wisdom, he asked her, you know, what is your definition of greatness? And she said, greatness is when people have a clear North Star. People who have a purpose that they're going after and that they build a structure to support the purpose. I was like, yep, preach. Because I love the fact that she said it's not just about like having the purpose. It's about building the structure that supports the purpose. Like that is essential. That is greatness. That's what takes someone from good to great, is that they created the system, the structure that supports who they want to be. All right, I'm gonna leave you with that. Have an awesome week, and I'll talk to you soon.